Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It's your Caper Sarah Code, and we're keeping it geekly with four-time World Wrestling Geekly champion, Edwin DeCastro. We're here to break down Lost Between Worlds and everything in between. Man, I gotta get a championship, but we are getting Geekly's printed out soon. That's coming up to an end. Very excited for that. I hope you take home a Geekly as well, man. I would love it. Edwin, dude.
I'm super excited.
Holy crap, man. I'm excited to get you back on the show. It's always a pleasure. How have you been since the last time you've been on?
Well, it's been a whirlwind of things, man. The ups and downs. It's been literally a roller coaster. I'm sure we're going to talk about it, but man, so many things have happened on the good side. My daughter turned one this past weekend.
Congratulations.
Party with family and friends. Thank you. Yeah. Blessings all around for her. She's getting bigger, growing, healthy. We signed a publishing deal. We're going to get the books out to stores and some marketing. On the bad news, our printer that we've got our books printed with before, their company Serenity Press, my theory is they went under because they completely ghosted me for like 2 months. We haven't had contact.
Holy shit.
I've already sent them money for the books and everything. So there's a lot going on in my life right now besides still working on the books and everything.
Yeah, and I was reading, there's not anything you could really do short of getting a hold of the Better Business Bureau, right? Like, you can't, it's not like you can, like, throw a brick through their window and be like, yo, give me back my money, like.
I wish, right? I mean, in the invoice, they have their address. I'm going to take a flight to, like, over where they're at and maybe just throw a brick through the window. Who knows? See whose door I knock on.
So,
I'm not telling you. Calls, emails, DMs, everything, nothing. Don't get
like,
anything back.
What happens? Like, that is such a kick in, you know, it's kicking you when you're down. I was reading your update, and every other comment on there was in agreement. Like, appreciate just how truthful you were and open you were about the situation. You're even at, at the point where you're going to pay out of pocket if need be, you know, to get this. Because it's one of those things, like, they already took your money and ran. So it's like, man.
Yeah. I mean, the last thing I heard from them, which was, like I said, about like 2 months ago, even maybe 2 months and a half, they told me that they were having printer issues, right? And okay, cool, you know, technical issues, things happen, I get it. They were like, oh, there's gonna be a delay. All right, like I said, I get it. But then 2-3 weeks go by, I'm like messaging them like, hey, any updates, you know, any ETA on the books? Nothing. Would reach out, you know, every so often, you know, hey, I've been reaching out, haven't heard anything back, anything? Nothing. It started becoming a daily thing, nothing. So yeah, I literally think that they just kind of went under. I looked up some research on the company. Like I said, they're called Serenity Press, but there's another company with the same name in Australia. So it's definitely not them. Let's not do anything to them.
So
but,
do they
yeah,
have like social media, or is it like one of those things where they really didn't have any of that?
That's what I'm saying. They didn't really have that. They have a website, but that's about it. So I think it was just literally one or two guys, just a little small crew maybe running the company. I found them through Reddit, honestly. It when I first approached them, it kind of seemed, I'm not gonna say shady, but it was like they seemed so like very very indie. You get what I'm kind of saying? Like, it's not like it's a company that I reached out to. It was a guy who kind of answered me on Reddit when I was asking questions about like printing, like specifications on books, how the printing process go, things like that. The guy reached out to me and told me he had a company and that he could help me out with that. Again, I was kind of like, someone reaching out to me like this. But whatever, I kind of gave it a chance. Anyone who's backed the previous campaign know that the books, you know, they're good quality. They came out.
So you went through
well.
Them for one printing or how many all together?
I went with them through, it was two jobs, but they printed three books, not counting, you know, like variant covers and things like that.
They showed they were proven before, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. They've shown their worth. Like I said, anyone who's backed their previous campaigns, they've seen the book's quality. Like, I think they're really good. They're really well done. But then, yeah, just literally out of nowhere, they kind of ghosted me here. And I don't think it's out of, well, I guess you could still say it's shady. I just don't think they're kind of stealing my money. I think it's just, like I said, maybe the company went under for whatever reason. So, yeah, I'm in a back and forth with that and kind of have to be talking to the bank to see if somehow I can maybe get the money back. But yeah, worst case scenario, you know, there's a promise between me and the backers to get their books. So somehow, some way, they're gonna get it.
That's solid.
Might be a bit of a delay. Definitely gonna be a delay. But yeah, they're gonna get their.
You know, and I think that's a big thing. You know, because it's not your fault. I mean, it's unfortunate that you are, you know, you're kind of like the middleman, you know, like you put your trust in these printers and then they, you know, for whatever reason, like just stop responding. And now you're the one who has to get stuck with the raw end of the stick. It's, you know, that's the rough part about doing this. And like, it's who else got screwed by them too? You know, that's.
Honestly, I even tried kind of looking up other people. Maybe I was trying to look it up in the wrong way because I couldn't really find anything. Like I said, they're a small company. I honestly think they've only been around maybe like 3, 4, 5 years, like yeah. Literally about that long. So I couldn't really find info on other customers. Maybe someone can kind of help me guide, like to see how to find that. But yeah, point is that they went under. I'm kind of dealing with the shit end of the stick here, but we'll make it happen. On the flip side, like I said, we signed the publishing deal. I'm kind of focusing more on the positive, and
yeah,
I think that one far outweighs the negative.
Yeah, no, and the biggest thing is, like, it speaks volumes about you as a creator and, you know, your resilience to it. I mean, people are going to look at the story, and I'd be curious to see how your campaign for Hour 3 goes after this. Like, once people are like, yo, he got screwed and he still made it happen. Like, this dude is like a stand-up guy. Like, I can only imagine, like, the impact this is going to have because, like, you know, it's one of those things, like, I don't know, like, this would probably be a moment in a lot of people's careers where they'd be like, okay, like, we got to pack it up, we're done, like, you know, and the fact that you're taking it to the chin, man, that's fucking awesome, for real.
Yeah, no, I'm always, I've always been a person who delivers on their promises, so definitely got to do that. Even if I was even to consider quitting, I would at least have to produce the book first before I was to quit. That's definitely not the plan. There's no quitter.
Yeah.
But so, as far
picked
as
up by a publisher.
Yeah, picked up by a publisher. Real quick, as far as a future campaign, I can't tell you when that would happen. There's definitely going to be a delay on that.
Yeah.
But I do hope that when I do produce the book, it will kind of produce that goodwill between people where, like, man, that happened to him and he still provided. That's the guy worth backing.
Yeah.
Producing, or should I say publishing? We got a publisher. It's a company called Dorrance Publishing. They reached out to me and they kind of offered me a deal where, they would market the book, put it in bookstores around the country. I don't know which bookstores yet. We are still in talk. We're kind of producing the issues 1 through 3 because they're kind of going to do like a volume 1 type of deal. And we're just hashing everything out, but I'm super excited for that. I can't wait to see the level of marketing they're going to do, get it in people's hands. Supposedly they're going to kind of set up like book signings and things like that or locally for me.
Oh,
so that's
dude.
Very exciting.
Congratulations. Like you were saying earlier, it's like that karmatic wheel, like, you were dealt like some really, really shitty hand. And then it's like you stayed on top of it. You stayed, you know, with that mindset. And then boom, another door opened. And so are they going to do the alternative set of art with this as well? Or is it just going to be the first? Because you do two different types of art with each issue, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I do. For now, it's only going to be the main art. Which, speaking of, for the alternative issue 2 is like 95% done. It's so close to being done. After the art's done, we just got a letter in. It's going to be out there. But anyways, yeah, they're only collecting the main issue 1 through 3 right now. I feel like in the future, if I was to collect the ultimate, that would kind of be its own thing, like its own little volume. But yeah, super exciting regardless.
And for everyone that is watching over on the Keeping It Geekly side of things, we do have that animated comic slideshow with the interiors from Hour 2 and a little sneak peek of one interior from hour three. So I mean, it looks like you are putting some work into that as well. I mean, how's what's the progress on that looking like?
Yeah, so Hour 3, Elton of course is still on board as the main artist. He's already produced the first 4 pages. He's working on the next 4. We're off the top of my head, I believe issue 4 is going to be like 32 pages or so. So yeah, we still got a little while to go. But yeah, it's just amongst this issue with the printer not giving me my books, we're still making issue 4, like the series will still go forward. So yeah, people wouldn't have to wait at least for that.
Because that's another thing too. I mean, like with this happening, like you still have an artist and a creative team that like are depending on you to put food on their table, you know, like it's like, it is such a pickle. And I think once like listeners and people who are watching like kind of really understand like just how that trickles down, like man, it's That is rough, and like I said, I give you so much kudos for, you know, taking it to the chin and just keeping it going, keeping, you know, issue four going, you know, which that's hour three, right?
Yeah, that one's hour three. I know it's a little confusing, but think of it as like the hour's always behind whatever current issue it is.
Yeah, so I mean, issue two was really climatic. I mean, we had Gwen going up against Tell. We find out, you know, are we allowed to spoil some stuff here?
Let's spoil it. It's free to read on Global Comics.
So we... We found out that, you know, Hell is the one who is trying to trigger Ragnarok. I thought that was a really interesting, you know, revelation. And it shit is, you know, for lack of better words, hitting the fans. You know, the dead are coming back, or, you know, killing humans left and right. And I mean, Gwen is, you know, surrounded by some of her Grim Reaper, you know, comrades, and one hell of a showdown too, right? I love that.
Yeah. I was teasing around the time of his creation that like the last like good chunk of the issue, if not like I think 25% if not more of the whole issue was that fight. And yeah, I really think comics should have more long battles like that. I don't know if I would extend one into a future issue. I mean, maybe, why not? But yeah, I really think we should do like long battles in comics and not just keep it to like manga. I mean, maybe they do it, maybe I'm wrong on that, but I don't really see it too often, at least in the books I read.
And, you know, this issue is really interesting as well. You know, the first couple, you know, we had some action, but this one was by far the most action-packed it felt.
Yeah, I feel like my story is definitely a slow burn. And that's the kind of stories I like and what I like to tell. So the first issue was a lot of world building. The second issue, we started getting teases of the action, still some world building. But in the third one, we started getting into the chunk of the whole story, like what's really going on. We got our first big battle, a lot of action. We introduced Gwen's little crew. There's definitely more to come, but yeah, the ball's rolling.
And so give us a little bit again about these Grim Reapers. They each have a special scythe, you know, and that's has remarkable abilities and special names as well. Give us, you know, give us the juice, Edwin.
Yeah, so the Grim Reapers, they're all based on different gods of death from different religions and cultures. Each one has a specific scythe that I wanted to give it a unique detail, not just on the shape of the scythe, but also give it like a little extra flair to it, whether it be like a secondary weapon or maybe even like a little magical element to it somehow like that. So for example, Gwen, her scythe has the chain with the kunai at the end. Mm-hmm. Sancho has the three clawed one. Sienna has like a bow and arrow kind of scythe. So yeah, I just wanted to give a little extra flair to everyone. Baron Samedi, who's going to be in issue four, his is going to be the first that has a little magical element to his scythe.
Okay.
And yeah, everyone is just joining Team Gwen, except for Helena. Helena, as we mentioned.
Hold on one second. I think you froze up.
And yeah, they don't have anything better to do. So Helena, who kind of realizes this is her moment to change her life, like, why do I have to keep doing this? Like, I don't even want to do this. This is my chance to say, screw this. Let's see what happens on the other side. So yeah, that's the whole conflict, and that's the deal with the Grim Reapers.
I love it. And I mean, it was interesting too. I think this was the first issue we got to see Gwen bleed for the first time.
So yeah, the Grim Reapers, they all have their different scythes that I wanted to give them a little extra flair. Like for example, Gwen's has the kunai and chain at the end of hers. Sancho's is the one with like the three claws. Sienna has the one with the bow and arrow. Baron Samedi, who will be debuting in issue four, his is going to be the first that has like a little magical element to it.
Okay.
I just wanted to add like a little extra flair to everyone's scythe and not just make it, you know, like the typical just normal curved blade, everyone's gonna have it. That would just kind of be boring, you know. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, for Helena, she's definitely on the opposite side of Gwen. She's definitely on Team Ragnarok. I mean, everyone has the same job of collecting souls. That's literally all they do all day. They're lucky if they even get some time off to just do what they want, and even then they don't really know what to do. So Helena's the first one to kind of be like, hey, this is a chance to kind of buck this trend and just do what I want to do. Like, I want to see what's on the other side of this. I don't want to keep doing this anymore. Why do I have to do what someone tells me to do, you know? So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
And like I mentioned, you know, Gwen bleeds for what, the first time in this issue. So I mean, are the Grim Reapers, like, are they vulnerable to death? Like, can they die themselves?
Yeah, so in the first issue, if you recall the conversation she had with her father, her father makes her the scythe and says that this is a weapon who can actually deal damage to other reapers and gods.
Okay.
So normally nothing would be able to harm them except these special weapons. So that's that's why you get to see Gwyn leap for the first time.
So what happens when a Grim Reaper dies?
I guess that remains to be seen, but I would think that's probably permadeath for them.
Yeah. No, that is an interesting scenario. So give us a little bit about, you know, the creative team involved with this. And I mean, kind of like how that worked with you and the artist when you guys were coming up with the interiors for this issue.
So our team is pretty much stayed the same, except for our colorist, who sadly passed away in issue 2. He was our original colorist. His name was Diego. I found most of my team, Elton, our main artist, Diego is our main colorist at the time, at the beginning. Now we use Gabriel. Reed is our letterer. We all met on Reddit. There's a subreddit called Comics Collab. Sorry about that.
You're good.
There's a subreddit called Comics Collab where we all just met there. I saw their portfolio. I checked out their work. That's where I kind of decided who I want to add to the team. Mm-hmm. And I always send them the scripts. They kind of come back with their own ideas. I just wanted to have very open relationship with everyone. Like, we all just back and forth, the team. It's a big open collab. That's basically how we work together with everybody.
No, I love that. So let's pull up the first couple pages of Lost Between Worlds Hour 2. We're going to be dropping that link in chat for you guys to check out with us. It is free to read. We're only going to go through a couple pages, but that will give you the perfect incentive to go ahead, check this out on your own. I mean, it's 100% free. You have nothing to lose to read something for free, and you have nothing to lose to share this. So put this on Facebook, put this on Twitter, anywhere you can. Word of mouth is 100% free. So this cover is gorgeous. I love, you know, seeing these two right here kind of just facing off.
Oh man, yeah, it's a tease for, of course, the big battle we've been talking about. But so mm-hmm. far, it's a shame that I have to keep bringing up this problem with the printer. It's supposed to be a split cover, so some people got the Gwyn cover, some people got the Helena cover, some people got both, and then, of course, yeah, you're supposed to put them together, and there's a complete cover. But since, as of now, we don't have the physicals, it's just one complete cover for the digital, and mm-hmm. I really wanted to see people post those pictures once they started arriving, like, hey, I got the book, start putting them together. Like, I can't wait to have that finally happen, but yeah, we don't have the physicals.
And then, of course, we come off with a little bit of a recap. What happened in the last issue with Hour 1?
So, in Hour 1, Gwyn has returned back to Earth looking for Dulcebe, having already heard that there's something going down. Dulcebe, who's on page 1 over there, that's Gwyn's current target. Gwyn is actually looking for someone named Verda, but when she goes to Dulcebe, Dulcebe's like, hey, that guy Verda, he's not in charge right now. I'm in charge, and you can't claim my soul because I'm not the one you're looking for. And Gwyn's kind of like, what is this loophole you're trying here? You're trying to cheat death? So yeah, Gwyn, when she returns, is talking to Dulcebe. That's when the first zombie strike. She deals with the zombies. She's kind of like, okay, hold on. I got to go to Miquelon, which is the hell in our world. She's like, I got to go speak to the king over there and kind of get some more info. And that's where she learns about Ragnarok. She learns that they only have really 24 hours to deal with this. And when she comes back, Dulcebe's missing. He kind of took his chance to be like, hey, I'm not waiting around to die. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be out. Deuces. And so that's where we start in issue 3.
And this was a really interesting scene, too. We see him run to his apartment. He turns on the TV. That's where we start to kind of get a little bit of the exposition of, you know, death is continuing to climb, you know, as the dead begins walking among the living. And then he starts getting strapped. We see him get an assault rifle. We see him get a pistol in the back pocket. I mean, this dude's readying himself for war. Does he have any idea none of this is going to hurt Gwyn?
I'm pretty sure he does not have an idea. I think he's kind of just getting it for defense because he knows zombies are around. Gwyn's after him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to throw a lot of things out to the readers. Like, for example, he starts talking to Verda. So mm-hmm. is he actually suffering some kind of mental disease? Is it him like being possessed by something maybe? And then with the guns, where do these guns come into play? Like, is he experienced? Is he some kind of military guy? I was just throwing a lot of things out there. And, you know, of course, we got to wait to see.
And I love how you did the different, you know, speech bubbles or blocks for the different personas.
Yeah, that's a huge callback from when I think I even mentioned this in our very first interview. When I was a kid and I used to write little fan fictions of like my favorite video games and cartoons, I used to write in colors. So for example, if I was writing a Ninja Turtle story, Donatello's line would be in purple, Raphael's
okay, that's
would be
so
in red,
cool.
So on and so forth. So I wanted to give everyone's inner monologue like a specific color. And so yeah, his ended up being brown and black. And then of course Verita's was the opposite. His was like mm-hmm. black and the brown lettering.
That is so awesome. And I love it. Just, you know, that awesome attention to detail. We see Gwen right here going up some stairs, trying to find him, figuring out what happens. And then all of a sudden, things take a turn for the worse. As, she realizes some of her friends are right here fighting a huge demon. Or what is this thing? Is it a demon?
It's a creature of some sort. Yeah, it's definitely a demon. I've been calling it a monster, but it is most definitely a demon. And this is just more kind of teases. In the last issue, we heard about Sienna and Sancho. Here we finally get to meet them. Mm-hmm. And then the monster, they deal with it. See, there I go again. The demon, they deal with it. But it kind of never gets brought up again, right? And you're kind of like, well, where did that come from? But we'll come back to that next issue.
And I love just the detail in all of this as well. This showdown is very climatic as well. I love the details. You know, where did you get the design from? Did you kind of just tell your artist just to do his thing, or did you kind of have a reference for this?
I kind of gave him a vague little reference of what I was going for, but I just kind of let him have it. I was like, yo, for the monsters, I'm gonna give you kind of what I want. Like, for example, in issue 4, I told him for the monster in that one, I just want something bipedal. Mm-hmm. And from there, have fun. And yeah. So, yeah, literally that he just did his thing.
And we get to see these sights in action. Of course, the one with the arrow. I love this, too. You know, she pulls it back and thump, thump, thump. And it's so cool how, you know, in each panel, you kind of see those arrows sticking out of them as well.
Yeah, again, we just had to introduce all the different aspects of these two new characters. I love the idea of the bow and arrow. I was at first fighting it where I was like, you know, is it something plausible? Do I even care about having plausible things? You know, I don't want to get too crazy, but I felt like the way a scythe is shaped, why not have a bowstring on the back? I think it could be done.
I think that's a really cool idea, honestly. And I really like the three-bladed scythe as well. That's a very cool design as well. You guys are lucky. We'll look at one more page. We'll look at page 10 and 11. And this will be where we end. I love this little frog that comes out of her, too. You know, I'm always a big fan of like little like creature like sidekicks like that.
Yeah, we had Q-Sif in issue 1, who of course will make his return. Here we got Patches, Sienna's pet frog. Fun little fact about Patches, actually. Previous campaign, I've always done cameo tiers, and a friend of mine, he bought the cameo tier for issue 1, but he ended up saying that he didn't want like to pick the cameo. He was going to give the cameo to his daughter, who at the time was, I believe, like 5. And so her choice was not to put herself or her parents or anything. She wanted a frog in the
That's
story.
That's so cool. I love
who
it.
Who had an eye patch. And I was like, perfect. I'm going to put that froggy in there, and he's going to be our cute little mascot. With
I love it. That's so cool. And I was going to ask if that was a Dark Souls reference, but it's much cuter that way.
You know, I should honestly play Dark Souls because that's totally right up my alley. But yeah, I have not, and I know a lot of gamers out there are going to probably be like, but yeah, I have not played Dark Souls yet.
You're not a true gamer?
I honestly, I'm starting to become more retro. Like, I only see, I only play, like, JRPGs these days. Mm-hmm. I do play open RPGs like that, but I can't even remember the last one I played. It might have been, I don't know, Mass Effect? I'm mm-hmm. sure it wasn't. I'm sure there was something after that. But I guess I'm just kind of out of touch with new games. I like a lot of the indie games nowadays, like Deltarune, Undertale, what some other ones I've played. I do like action games like Bayonetta. I guess I've gotten more specific with my taste in games, but before I used to eat everything up. Read my mm-hmm. Game Informers, buy all the AAAs, yeah.
I got you. So, Edwin, you know, what's next for you in 2023 after kind of getting that little sneak peek at Hour 2, which, guys, by the way, you can read on Global Comics for free and all the other issues as well. Get on there, check them out, read them. They are awesome, phenomenal books. I highly approve of them. They get the geekly seal of approval without a doubt. With that being said, Edwin, you know, what's next for you in 2023? Or do you got any other projects you might be working on, any anthologies you're going to be maybe signing up for, or is it kind of just sticking to this series?
Honestly, all focus is on Lost Between Worlds. I have a lot going for in terms of just projects literally under the banner. Like mm-hmm. I said, Alternate Issue 2 is about to be done. Alternate Issue 3 is planned to be done by Brendan Albetsky as the artist. And that's probably going to look amazing. Yeah. And we got Issue 4 still in their work. We still are planning to make a motion comic version of Issue 1. The crazy thing is, and I'm so like thankful that the voice actors who I've gotten for that project are like so patient, because half the work has already been recorded. The other half still needs to be recorded, and I still need to find someone to actually make the motion comic happen. Yeah. But the thing is like now with this printing issue happening, I've kind of put that on the back burner again, where I really wanted to try and focus on that after Issue 3 was done. So yeah, that's still happening, but unfortunately it's on the back burner again. So yeah, just all of that is on my plate. So currently I'm not really trying to make a new series, work on an anthology. It's all just Lost Between Worlds.
No, I got you. I mean, so you've been on the show before. You know the drill. For anyone who is, I guess, let's kind of back it up. Let's for anyone looking to build a little bit of resilience, I feel like resilience is an important thing to have in this industry. You know, being able to take those blows and being able to stand back up and dust it off. I mean, what would be some of your biggest advice for anyone who's kind of having trouble dealing with that?
I would say you just got to have thick skin. Just ride with it. Of course, it's going to get you down. You don't know how many times I've been down about all this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've thought about like maybe people just like, oh, this guy can't deliver. Like it's all been through my mind. But I know in the end of the day, this isn't necessarily like, you know, on me. I'm just the one that's going to have to deal with it and make right with people. So you just got to stick with it. Don't give up. Of course, if it's something where you just put that much money and, you know, you need to take a break or whatever the case is, do what you need to do. But I would say, yeah, you just got to have thick skin, roll with the punches and stay in there. And the good will be on the other side.
Let's go, man. I always love to see it. So we do a little something new this time around. So ending the podcast, we always love asking what you're consuming outside of creating. I mean, that new Mortal Kombat just got announced. You stoked for that?
Oh, bro. So Mortal Kombat, I always said, I don't know if that's my actual favorite fighting game, like gameplay wise, but it's definitely my favorite story. Like Mortal Kombat story and lore is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I am so ready for Mortal Kombat 1.
Because they're restarting, you know, it, like, right?
I get a little nitpicky with it. Because to me, you can argue that they're restarting it. But if you know a lot of the lore, you hear about the great Kung Lao, who's an ancestor of Kung Lao. You hear a lot about that era where Shang Tsung apparently was actually a good person until he ended up getting corrupted. You hear about how that's where the Mortal Kombat tournament started happening. And then once we get to the 10th, which would have been where if Outworld wins, they take over Earth. You hear about that stuff, but you never see it. So I feel like we're finally going to get to see it, see things that we've heard. So it's still technically part of the story because, you know, it's things we've heard, just never seen. But they're definitely not going to mess with it because, I mean, we see all the current characters, right? So did they time travel? Are they going to the past? Is it like dimension hopping? There's a lot of questions. But yeah, I'm super excited for it. It's really cool.
No, that is awesome. So, guys, once again, right here is the link to check out this chapter on Global Comics for 100% free. And I mean, if you haven't checked out the others, read them first. You know, I highly suggest that. This story does follow a 24-hour segment, but it's there's 25 because issue zero is an issue as well, right?
Yeah, issue one is hour zero, where it's not technically part of the 24-hour setup. It's setting up the 24-hour, should I say.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, yeah, issue two is where it actually starts.
So, yeah, guys, you know, this is going to be a series that is going to be one long-running series. It's going to follow 24 hours of Gwen trying to stop Ragnarok. It's going to be one hell of a ride. You don't want to miss it. And you can read a big chunk of that for free on Global Comics, so get to it. With that being said, it is time for us to wrap up. Hope you all have a lovely new comic book day, but most importantly, guys, keep it geekly.